evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR, W2TTT. Well, that's the right answer to that question. Nothing was heard. All right. Well, this net meets weekly at 9 p.m. for the purpose of having a discussion about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, electricity, natural phenomena, operational aspects of the hobby, telecommunications, anything that's supported by these things, things in our society, things that we do. Technical aspects are pretty much any aspect, if you think about it. So you're free to raise any subject that you'd like in one of those contexts, one or more of those contexts. In any case, NET is open to all amateur radio operators who are licensed to operate the 2-meter band. And further, you may access this net via Echo Link on K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L, K2-Foxtrot-Juliet-L, and that's the Echo Link access to this repeater. If you're trying to get into the repeater and don't know how to do that, you need a minus 600 PL, and you need an offset, and you need a PL of 141.3. That's 141.3. We check into this net a little differently than other nets. We do it by call sign group, and we encourage you to check in, even if you don't have a question or a comment for the net, because we might want to ask you a question. So don't be shy. Check in even if you're just listening. But you're welcome to raise a subject of interest, something you've done before, just something that you thought was cool. Even if you know all about it, it doesn't have to be a question. I'm not Mr. Wizard, although some of my colleagues here are. But anyway, we hope you'll join us. All right, on that happy note, let's start. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Over. It wasn't that chatty. Okay. Let's try call signs that begin with the letter Whiskey.
This is W2JEK Don with one comment.
W2JEK Don. Nice to hear you. We can certainly accommodate that at the right time. Hold on a second. Trying to use the TV that came up. Got you covered, Don. And are there any other stations whose call sign begins with Whiskey?
WUE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Charlie. Good hearing you. Any other Whiskeys?
W2CH, Ray White Plains. Good evening, Gordon. None of the above.
Good evening, Ray. Nice to hear you as well. Any other Whiskeys? Okay, let's try Alpha stations. Already. How about Kilo 2s?
KC2NKU, good evening, everybody. This is Marilyn. I'm coming along much better. Thank you for asking. No questions, no comments.
Marilyn, very good. Nice hearing you. Any other kilos?
K2AMI, Tony. No questions, no comments at this time.
Okay, Tony. I think we're going to be short operators here tonight. So my guess is a good number of guys are out of date this weekend. All right, any other kilos?
KC2VMA, what a question.
Marco, got you. There was a question. Any other kilos? Okay. Any November stations one more time? My gut feeling is that Noel's probably running late. Alrighty. Any other call signs via the repeater? Any format?
KF2ID, Ben. I do have a question. And I do want to make a comment. Your voice It's very, very low. You may be keeping the mic away from your mouth or something. But I personally have had trouble hearing you. Your signal is strong enough. There's no noise. But deviation is very low.
Okay, well, thank you for reminding me about that. I have an identical microphone on another radio that just, you know, if I eat the microphone such as I am right now, it turns out to be a real problem. Was this much better, Ben?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the reminder. That's very, very helpful. Alrighty. Are there any other stations wishing to check into the net? Okay, I haven't had a chance to look. Are there any stations via Echolink who wish to check in at this time?
Kilo Charlie 2. Oscar, Romeo, X-ray. Check it in. Gordon.
Good evening, Robert. Nice hearing you. And oddly enough, we were on the repeater last night here in 835 and on 5-2 demonstrating amateur radio to a bunch of scouts for another scout leader. Some of you who live in Montvale might know Bob, W-H-M-T-Z. He's got a nice station. Mostly dipoles for the upper bands. 2016 and 10 separate dipoles for each and some verticals, and he did very, very well. We had a good time talking with him and a bunch of scouts from 2334 in Montvale last night and doing all sorts of things, so including Echolink. Alright, any other stations via Echolink? Are there any other stations via the radio?
He was in 2OL.
In 2OL? Very good. Will you be giving us questions or comments tonight?
No. Today I'm boring.
Wow, if you could work on that, I would really appreciate it. Okie doke. Are there any other stations? Okay, well, let's get to the comments. W2JEK, your comment first, sir.
All right, K2BAR in the net, this is W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Just a reminder that the next Barra test session will be at the Ham Fest on June 2nd at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we will also have another test session on Friday the 15th of June at 7 p.m. That's also at the high school. And keep in mind that the extra class question pool will change as of July 1st. So what you're studying now will become obsolete. So if you are studying, study hard, get a test, get into a test session, and get tested before the end of the month of June. With that, back to net, W2JEK.
Yeah, that's a really important point, that the question pool changes at the end of June. So if you're in process or have a study guide you'd like to use, get it done. The other thing I can recommend is Ham Test Online. Absolutely brilliant package for helping people get their licenses, because it drills you on what you don't know and explains things too. So that's a useful thing to think about. Anybody have any questions for Don about this? Just want to echo people's, for Don's point, is that the HamFest is no longer Memorial Day weekend, but in fact, weekend after, the first weekend in June on Saturday, due to a conflict with the school. The school had a sports event that preempted the HamFest and pushed it out a week. So be aware of that. The other thing to be aware of that same weekend is the Bergen County Bike Ride. It's a short ride on Sunday morning. We are going to need some operators for that. If you are interested, please email me, w2tangotangotango@awrl.net. That would be fine. We have an event in August, which is a bigger, broader, fatter, and more interesting event, but if you'd like just a simple Sunday morning event to help chaperone a bike ride, it's got multiple routes, and it's multiple start times for that matter. So it's all done around noon. or even 1 at the latest, but you can leave earlier if you need to. No big deal. Things usually collapse after about 11 o'clock, become more compressed. So we can generally deal with fewer people unless the weather turns ugly, in which case we probably need help. Alrighty. Don, did you want to follow this up with anything else before we move on?
That's okay, Gordon. Everything's fine with that then. Anyway, back to that. Thank you. W2JEK, over.
Thank you, Don. That's a good announcement. I'm glad you did that. That reminds me of that whole weekend. It's going to be busy, busy. Alrighty. Our next comment is from KF2ID. Mr. Van, hopefully my audio has been maintained at a reasonable amplitude. On to you, KF2ID, K2BAR, WSUGGT.
Okay, well, I may be building something, and there's a question of parts as usual, so I'll probably be able to dig up some of the components from my AM friends and some of the components I may not be able to. So the question is, based on everybody's experience, I'm wondering what is the best suppliers around in terms of the shipping costs, stock, and cost prices. But basically shipping costs when shipping small quantities of items.
Are these largely small items of minimal value, but like connectors, things like that, small little knick-knacky type stuff?
Yeah, well, not connectors so much, although that may come into play. It's probably ICs, IC sockets, things like that. Boards, boards with a whole spacing is meant to take the ICs. Particularly interested in ICs, I know the trouble is surface mount is really the technology to go with, but it's not for my old man eyes and hands. KF2ID would take the air.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good question. My gut feeling would be either a padded envelope with an anti-static sleeve inside, if things are not too delicate. Or you could use one of those, if you have a fairly decent quantity, you can use one of those, if it ships, it fits kind of boxes that the post office has. If you were dealing with something that, you know, is more precious, more valuable, I'll be real honest, I would use FedEx. I'm kind of prone to them. I'm partial to them for things that cost money. That would be my opinion. But are there any other opinions or any experiences from anybody else that might be the same or different?
I'm sorry, Gordon, but I think you misunderstood my question. My question was, who are good suppliers? Who are good sources of components that minimize the shipping costs, and willing to deal with small quantities and have a good stock? KF2ID would take the VAR.
Well, that's why I mentioned the Postal Service. I understood your question, Ben. You can go to your local post office, and if not your local one, go to another one, and you can find many of those shipping supplies right there. The only thing you won't find are the anti-static envelopes or the anti-static foam. But, if it fits, it ships boxes are there, and certainly the padded envelopes, they have those there at the post office, too. And it's very, very convenient, and it's very reasonably priced, over.
Sorry, you're still listening. I'm talking about people who sell the stuff. I'm talking about retailers. I'm talking about me buying the components. In other words, if I want two or three of a particular IC or a particular connector or a particular, or if I wanted certain types of boards, which would be the best supplier of them? I'm not talking about me shipping it. I'm talking about me purchasing it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. All right, so there are a couple of alternatives. Mouser and DigiKey are two. Another one is, what do they call it? CanaKit, CANA-Kit. There's a couple others out there like that. Those would be some of the ones that come to mind. CanaKit, of course, will sell you either kits or semi-kits. They even have pretty simple modules that you can integrate. But depending on what you're looking for, there's some other more esoteric providers that will also ship small quantities as well. Keep that in mind. But Mouser and DigiKey are the two that come to mind, over.
Okay, I'm interested. I heard of Mouser. I haven't dealt with them. I dealt quite a years ago. I dealt with somebody, but I forgot who. But I'm trying to get a feel from the people on the net who may have dealt with electronic part suppliers via the via mail, and what their personal experience has been in terms of service, shipping costs, etc.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, because we weren't for a couple of times there. So, there are other suppliers too. Omnip Radio Shack has some stuff that's available. And there are a number of vendors. You just go on the internet and you'll find, if you're looking for a particular part or type of part, you usually can find providers other than Mouser and DigiKey and there's something called electronic parts or something like that. I forget what. That's another vendor. Radio Shack certainly, and there's two others. Anybody else have any thoughts on this for Ben? Okay, Ben. Mouser, DigiKey. If you just Google electronic parts, you'll probably find some ideas. And of course, Radio Shack. And Radio Shack actually has all sorts of interesting things now. And then there's a few other things too, like as I said, CanaKit, a few others. But if you look up some of the kit manufacturers, they'll often sell you components. If you need RF components, by the way, Down East Microwave will sell you just about anything that they use, and a few things that they don't use, but they stock anyway because people ask them for it. So if you need some high frequency and high frequency RF parts, that's another thing. Oh, by the way, speaking of RF parts, that's another good one too.
Okay, have you had personal experience with any of these people?
All of them in the last 5 years.
Okay, well, all right, so that's a good list. I'll have to get to you personally because I know I can go to the internet and I realize I can see advertisements, QSD, et cetera, but I'm interested in people who have had personal experience with them because sometimes if they turn up with very large shipping costs and things like that, and when you're dealing with small quantities or they get on the bottom of the list and you never hear from them or they ship you the wrong stuff. I've had some nasty, number of years back, I had some nasty experiences of that nature. They really, really weren't too interested in serving the retail purchaser. If you wanted to buy 1,000 parts, of course, they'll sit up and listen, but the small quantity, they really didn't care whether they, or, as I say, they had horrendous shipping charges. So maybe when I see you personally somewhere, I'll get these lists, maybe at the ham fest or something. I'll get the list because I don't quite, I didn't quite get it all, and I don't want to spend the time. You're spelling it out carefully and think of all the time. But if you had personal experience with them, that's the best thing. Okay, thank you very much, Gordon. This is KF2ID with K2VAR.
Ben, what is your email address? I can email you and anybody else who wants it, the list of names I was thinking about. I'll probably just pull their URLs out, too. What's your email?
Well, you could just do KF2ID at ARRL.net.
That's fine. I certainly can do that. Are there any other stations who'd like that list? Alrighty, no problem. Well, I'm really surprised you didn't, but okay. Fair enough. Well, that's a good topic. Thank you very much, Ben. That's a good question. Let's see. Margo, you had a question for the net. What's your pleasure?
Good evening, Gordon, and everybody in the net. This is KC2ZMA. My question is very simple. I would think it was very simple, so, but I just wanted a couple pointers. I'm actually putting, I actually have a 2-meter radio in the car with a mag mount stuffed to the trunk. But I want to, I purchased a permanent mount that I want to drill in the roof of the car. I want to drill a hole. I think the hole is going to be 3/8 of an inch wide or so. I'm basically going to put the wire through the headliner, probably down the A-pillar or B-pillar, all the way down to the radio. That's probably the way I'm going to more than likely do it. I'm just wondering if it's actually, the antenna is a 19-inch quarter wavelength. I mean, it does 2 meters of 440, but I'm going to use it just for 2 meters because the radio is only 2 meters. I'm wondering if anybody had any pointers or warnings before I start drilling for, like, the roof, any warnings for some leaks or anything like that. Never actually drilled through the roof or something like this, so I wanted to know if anybody had some pointers or anything like that. Back to net control.
And to William?
Yeah, Noel, go right ahead.
Only a very brave person would be brave enough to drill through the roof of a sheet metal vehicle. You'll never get the hole perfectly round. You would use what's called a Greenlee punch. You would drill a small hole for the bolt, put the bottom of the Greenlee punch on, put somebody else on the inside of the car. Well, actually, I think you could do it from the top then. And put the through, and then you tighten down the bolt, and it makes the nicest, neatest hole. Second thing, I chose to stick with a half-wave mag mount for a couple reasons. Half-wave is, minus diamond. It's reasonably sturdy. It gives a better pattern than a quarter-wave. Quarter-wave's great if you're in Manhattan, because it shoots up and gets the buildings. A quarter-wave is not so great when you work in Rockley, because I had trouble making the 7-9 repeater. I would pull up to a stop light, and I'd have to move forward 3, 4, 5, 6 inches because the repeater would actually null out and come back in. Also got some picket fencing. You don't normally get that with the half wave. As soon as I went to a half wave mag mount instead of a quarter wave mag mount, big difference. Also, with a high impedance half wave, it's high impedance at the base, you don't need much of a counterpoise or ground compared to a quarter wave. Back to net, this is N2OEO.
Okay, I'm partial to a 5/8, or even 5/8 over a half wave, or 5/8 over a quarter wave, depending on what you see out there. But, you know, more is better for all the reasons Noel mentioned. Let me ask you a quick question. You have the antenna already. What is the type of mount? Is it an NMO mount or something else?
Actually, Gordon, it's a TRAM antenna. I'm not sure if, wait, 19 inches, is that quarter wavelength or half wavelength? But I confused the two. But the mag mount I have now is exactly the same as this antenna. I never had a problem with hitting the center line repeater with the mag mount. This probably would be better. But the connection, it's actually a screw bottom. I'll explain this because I never really saw this before. It is really not written on the bag too for itself, but there's basically like a plate on top. The 3/8 nut goes in between through the sheet metal of the car itself, of the roof. This plate goes on top, it has a gasket on it that seals it. And it's connected to a coax cable, it's all one piece, basically. And it's a 90-degree angle, it's not straight down, 90-degree, so it's, you know, perfect if it goes underneath the hand liner and basically around. So that's what type it is. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. I never really saw one before. I'm looking at it just right now as it is. And it actually, and the antenna itself screws right inside. So it's basically the antenna itself screws to the base, with the base screws to this plate, and the plate screws basically to the sheet metal of the car. That's the best explanation I can give with this antenna here.
Question, can you take a picture of it and text it to me or email it to me?
Yes, I could. Gordon, I could probably email it to you. Yes.
That would be helpful. At AWRL.net, it's fine. I think Noel's advice is really, really good. I'm assuming you have access to punches courtesy of what you do for a living?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've actually drilled holes. The Mercedes-Benz actually repaired these brand-new Mercedes-Benz. I drew a hole through trunks and hoods and so for GPS antennas. For these $200,000 cars or so. But these are all basically, designed for it. So they give you specific instructions, everything itself, what to drill and all that. But I'm kind of weary for, something like this because I'm too sure about, and I know the basic principle of it, how to drill it itself to make, drill a hole. But, yeah, Noel's information was very useful with this stuff.
Okay, but to his point, it sounds to me like you have a 19-inch whip, which is a quarter wave. I'm not so sure I would bother with that. If you don't have, a low-hanging garage problem, then I would use a 5/8 right on the center of the roof and be done with it. Especially if you're going 2-meter monobander, I think that's a really good idea. But do give that some consideration. My own personal preference is for NMO mounts. They're about the most rugged, and also waterproofing is not a problem. What you can do is you can always put some silicone underneath with the washer as well, so that or not underneath, on the top where the washer is, or the gasket, if you will. Should be on top, and the bottom, have it bite into the metal. Make sure you clean the metal underneath too, so that whatever's grabbing the metal underneath gets a nice good bite, and that the top is nice and neat as far as prepping the surface and just making sure that that gasket has plenty of waterproofing of whatever form you choose to use to augment the gasket. But I like the NMO mount. That's why I want to see what you have. If you have something else in the way of an antenna, you're going to go to an awful lot of effort for very marginal performance. And if you don't have a standardized mount, you won't have a way to, at your discretion, put a better antenna on. If you have an antenna that has basically its own proprietary screw mechanism for that brand, that model of antenna, and you kind of worked your way into a hole, and you've cut a hole in your roof that's very specific to a narrow world, I've seen 3/8 NMO mounts, so it very well could be an NMO. I just want to see a picture of it, the mount itself. If you want to just describe the antenna in your email, that's fine too. Anybody else have any comments?
With a dual bander, you have dual bands, and there is not much difference between a half wave and a 5/8. The other thing is, you got to be careful if you're using a star washer and make a good connection, because if you use silicone, the regular silicone, it has a nasty habit of heating the metal away and making a bad connection. You're much better off using an alternative. My personal favorite is the stuff, believe it or not, sold in the plumbing department of Home Depot, which is a waterproof silicone glue used, of all things, for my water filter under the sink. You use it to lubricate the gasket at the top because it's one of the few things that you will not contaminate your water. However, it doesn't deteriorate gasket material. It will come off at a later date. And if you happen to choose to use a star washer instead of trying to grind away at the metal of your insides, you just tighten it up. You don't have to worry about any grinding. Star washer makes a nice, complete connection. And it's a thought. The other thing that I always like is Penetrex, or the silicone that has, it's a silicone grease. It's nasty stuff to work with. It has little tiny zinc particles, and it's used for when you have a copper to aluminum connection in house wiring. Also great for things like this because it keeps the air out, and the zinc particles, when you have two pieces of metal together, actually cut a hole through the aluminum surface and make a good connection. Back to that, Antonio.
Okay, that's good. That's very good. So that's a good piece of advice. I do make sure that I only put the silicone on the top and to avoid bare metal contact with that stuff. But I think your suggestion of that material is superior. And to the bottom, I make sure the star washers, you know, not only on the metal, but I also prep the metal underneath to make sure it's nice and bare, and make sure that the paint is nice and intact on top. That's kind of my MO. But that's good. That's very good. Now, Marco just sent me that email. Let me just take a quick look as to what that is. Stand by.
W2SCT Mobile.
Hey. W2SCT, very good. All right, so what this is, I actually have one of these antennas. So, Marco, the antenna mount is fine. It's a very sturdy NMO mount made by Tram. And, yeah, it's a shortened brass dual-band antenna. I'm not really fond of the antenna, but the mount is fine. And you can always use that as a spare antenna, but at some point you're going to want to upgrade your antenna, and this mount will allow you to do that. This is what they call an NMO mount, and you'll be very happy with it. W2SCT, are you checking in, and welcome.
Okay, I apologize. I didn't realize it was a net. I mean, I can check in. I didn't realize it was a net. My name is Peter, W2SCT Mobile in Locust Valley, Long Island, New York, about 25 miles east of Manhattan. No traffic. Didn't realize exactly that there was a net. I'm sorry. But I'll turn it back to the next control, and I'll be here. W2SCT Mobile.
Peter, no offense taken. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, and we welcome all radio amateurs to the net. With or without questions or comments, so we're glad you're here. So that's excellent. Anybody else have any comments from Marco regarding his choice of NMO mounts?
A2AMI with a comment.
Tony, go.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with working on expensive cars, and some cars do have airbags that are in some way into the headliner and into the roof of the car. So you got to be careful that you don't get yourself involved with a airbag. Roger.
Hey, Mark.
This is KC2ZMA. Yes, they call my car vehicle does have curtain airbags, as they call it. And yes, I did come into mind with that. I'm not sure exactly the way it's designed in there, and I'm possibly try to avoid it, but it seems like those curtain airbags are all between the headliner, travels to the front and the rear. But and I didn't really lower the headliner to see the design. The way my vehicle is designed, or the way the curtain airbags are designed there. But the vehicle does have them. All these vehicles are coming with so many airbags now. And that's an issue there. And I'm not sure if the D-pillar would avoid it, or the A-pillar. The way how the radio mounted is, it's a Yaesu 2900, 75 watt radio there. And it's actually mounted on the right side passenger transmission tunnel, vertical. The radio is basically vertical. And try to get the wire, the cable all the way down to the passenger side. But that might be an issue with that. I copy that there, Tony. Thanks for that advice with that. Back to my control.
Marco, just curious, what year and model, or year, make, and model is the car that has curtain airbags? I'm just curious.
It's an 05 Corolla. 05 Corolla LE. It's actually written on the reason why I only know it because it's actually written on the A-pillar. It says curtain side airbags, curtain airbags, window airbags. Some of them all, they name it differently. Different car manufacturers name it differently, but it's an 05 Corolla, though.
Yeah, I'd like a list of cars that don't have all that stuff. I actually want a Recaro seat and a 5-point harness. Get rid of all the damn airbags. Just make the car structurally sound and get rid of all the, expensive stuff. I'm never wearing a dress or a skirt, or a kilt for that matter, so I don't give a rat's rip. I'd rather have a 5-point harness. I feel a lot more secure in a closed cage with a 5-point harness than I would in an airbag. That's just me. Anyway, it's just life. Too many things, too much expense. I guess you have to make cars for the stupid people, but that makes them expensive for no reason other than they're lazy. Alrighty. I'll get away from my semi-political comments here. We'll move on to antenna mounts. But it's a fine antenna mount. The antenna that comes with it's very reliable, very sturdy, and very mediocre. But the mount is just fine. I mean, that brass base, the thing, not the mount, but the base of the actual antenna, as you saw from the underside, you can see it's brass. I mean, it's really well made, but man, I wish they had a little more oomph on the signal.
Okay, this is a good choice then. I actually purchased it at Advanced Specialist when I went there during the weekend. And I guess got on the right track of getting this. The antenna itself is the same screw. Basically, the antenna is my mag mount, so it's actually the same. I basically have two mag mounts that I use, one for the car and one for this radio that I'm using here at home. The mobile I have at home, I have two mobiles, one in the car, one at home, and it's actually the same antenna. And I wanted to keep it with this antenna and all because of the height itself. Basically, the antenna, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but the same height as my radio antenna that's on the car, just about same height. That's why I wanted to keep it this height, and I'm glad I picked the right choice with this this antenna and all. But might be doing it next week or so, maybe a new project. I thank everybody for your advice and all that. Thanks a lot. Back to net control. This is KC2ZMA.
Okay, Marco, very good. Well, it's a fine mount, and you have the NMO mount. That's all that matters. If you want it for aesthetic reasons, I appreciate that. If you're local, it's fine. But I do a lot of traveling, and, you know, I want to basically have a low angle of radiation so I can push RF way out on the horizon as I travel. So I'm looking for gain at all costs. And if you think about what I drive, you can see that I'm really not caring about the what I call the aesthetic form factor of something as neat and trim as a 05 Corolla. That's not my form factor, as it were. But God bless you. That's all good. All right. Anybody else with a question or comment about or comment on this topic or any other mobile antenna issue? Brady. Any other check-ins for the net tonight?
K9GTM, I'd like to check in and have one question about antennas.
Good evening, Sean. Absolutely, K9GTM. First, how's the baby? How's the other young man in your household and the bride that they gave to you? How's everybody doing? And then on to your question, sir.
Actually, everybody's doing good. We're actually all on our way home. We just went out to eat. But the one question I do have is, if you do have two MagMount antennas, or even ones that you permanently mount, how far apart should they be if you have two rigs going?
Well, without getting into measurements and things like that, as far apart as you can, while making sure there's a reasonable ground plane in all directions surrounding each individual antenna. That's a general rule of thumb. So you can put them one behind the other, you can put them side by side, but generally speaking, if you have two antennas, you would put one for or one toward the front, one toward the back, in a line down the center line of the vehicle if you have roof access and headliner access.
Connected LU7ACH.
Yeah, there was a double there, so let me just sort out this thing a little bit. LU7ACH, we have a net going on, but you're welcome to join us. What is your name and who are you, et cetera, et cetera. LU7ACH from Whiskey 2, Tango, 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 over.
Okay, Whiskey 2, Tango, 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 this is Lima United 7, Alpha Charlie Hotel. My name here is Leo, Lima Echo Oscar. I am from Buenos Aires, Argentina, and actually I am listening to you guys, so this, I am new in this system, Echolink, so I'm just testing out, sorry about my English, I don't speak English, that's my third language, you know, so don't worry about me, guys, so I'm just listening to you. I know you are talking about antennas and that stuff, so I'm just testing this system, I'm very new. That's why I'm trying to connect you, because I want to know how you heard me, you know? Is my signal is okay, and that's up. I'm using a Samsung Android right now, and I am in my home. We are, of course, we are wireless system, okay? Okay, Whiskey 2, Tango, 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 this is Lima United 7, Alpha Charlie Delta, over.
Okay, Leo, very fine. LU7 Alpha Charlie Hotel from W2TTT, Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango. Very good. Well, welcome. This repeater is located just north and west of New York City and pretty much services the whole metro New York and lower Hudson River Valley, heading northward from New York and eastward and south down to the shore on the beach, as well as out onto Long Island. It's very nice of you to join us. Just stand by for a minute. We'll get back to you in a moment. I'm just going to see to who made a comment before when you checked in, things you doubled a little bit, not when you transmitted, but when the echo link connected. So who was the other station who made a comment that wanted to follow up on Sean's question? Sean, was it you by any chance?
It might have been, yeah. Yeah, I was just saying that, I must have hooked it up right, because it seems to be working well, and it's exactly what I did. I put one in the front, one in the back, and I lined it up. I guess that, does it also help, too, that my one antenna I have in the rear is shorter than the one that's in the front?
It really doesn't much matter. It's really a matter of how much ground plane you left in front of, or behind, in the case of the rear antenna. How much steel is between the antenna and the edge of the metal. So why don't you describe that for the front antenna, how much metal is forward of the forward antenna and how much metal is to the rear of the rear antenna?
I think I'm going to separate like 24 inches apart, and I got a good probably foot around each base.
That's probably enough. In general, what I would have probably done is put about 20 inches of steel in front of the 2-meter antenna, your tall one, if you will, and then I would have put less to the rear of the rear antenna. And that's only because I want to kind of try to semi-center the bigger antenna so that I have more coverage. In a rounded way, because the shape of the ground plane under the antenna does affect the pattern of the antenna. But in any case, it's kind of good that you put the long antenna, the 2-meter antenna, in the front, because as you drive away from something or somebody, you'll provide a little more signal as you come from a place, which is kind of nice. That way you maintain your QSO a little longer as you drive into the sunset. So that's pretty good. Anybody else have any comments about Sean's question? And then, if not, we'll go back to Leo. So, anybody have any other ideas for Sean? Okay, Sean, very good. One of the things is, if your family is still with you, you might want to point out that Leo is in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, and he's coming in via the internet. Then coming out over the radio here through the repeater here in New Jersey. So, K9GTM from K2BARW2TDT. Alrighty, we'll move on. LU7 Alpha Charlie Hotel, Leo, did you have any question for the net? This is K2BARW2TDT. Starting to wonder if I'm talking to myself here. Alrighty. Any other comments from anybody else on that or any other check-ins, please call KBAR.
Okay, guys. No, I have no question, guys. I have no question. I'm just listening to you and testing my system, so you go ahead and I'll keep here listening to you, okay? Thank you very much. Calling to Tango, Tango, Tango. This is Lima United 7 of Charlotte.
Okay, very good, Leo. Just for reference, we're on daylight savings time right now, but every Thursday night or Friday morning UTC at 0100 in the summer and 0200 in the winter, we operate here on Thursday night, and you're welcome to come in any time. We normally monitor the echo link, and so even if you don't want to say anything, we'll see your check-in on the echo link log you in. You can always text us if you'd like. Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for checking in. Anybody else have any questions or comments for the net?
W2JC, none of the above, over.
Okay, very good. James? I'll repeat a couple of key announcements at this time. Actually, let me just check. Are there any other stations wishing to check in, and then I'll repeat some of the key announcements. right, so a couple of things. One is Don reminds us that our next test session for Barra is at the Hamfest, which is now June 2nd, Saturday morning. And then the other one will be 2 weeks later, I believe, on the 15th, also at the high school where it always is, for the test sessions there. And that after June, extra questions will be changing. So effective July 1, you will need to study a new question pool. So anyway, wow, I just looking at something. Marty Brodeur, by the way, the Devil's goaltender, people are saying that if he can't move left-right effectively, clearly that's not the case. The man is 40 years old, and he's like a cat. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch. I'm so impressed. Anyway, moving right along, we have the Hamfest coming up at the test sessions. Of course, the Barra Hamfest is June 2nd. The next day is the Burton County Bike Ride, Sunday morning, and we will be gathering at 7 a.m. June 3rd at Burton Community College, and we'll be done around noontime like we were last year. So if anyone's interested in participating, shoot me an email, and we'll be happy to send you that. Let me drop it. The other point is, if anyone would like to see a picture of the antenna and antenna mount that Marco has bought, it's the Tram 2 meter 440. It kind of looks like a cell antenna on an NMO mount, a really nice NMO mount. I can forward that picture as well. Just give me an indication that I should email it to you. And then I'm also going to make up after this net, I can forward to anyone who requested a list of the some of the parts places that you can go to if you're interested in ordering parts, electronic parts of various types. I'll make up a little list. I've been meaning to do this for a while, so after the net I'll be sending that out. And I know Ben KF2ID has requested that. Are there any other questions, comments, confusions?
Are you DJC?
Yes, sir.
If anybody is building a kit or something and looking for basic type parts, they should check with me first, because I have a cellar full of stuff that is looking for a home.
I can verify that he can come up with the most esoteric things you would ever want to live for. For how many years have you been, stocking your warehouse?
Well, let's just say I started stocking my father's basement and the loft of his garage in about 1956.
Okay, so we are on well on 6 decades. Very good, Jim. Alrighty. And Jim, are you available at W2JC at AWRL.net? Does that work?
I believe it should.
Okay, I will add you to the list. that's not a bad idea. That list is if anyone else would like that parts list, contacts, things like that, I'll be happy to forward it to the address. And I'll be happy to do it. Alrighty. Anybody else have questions, comments, confusions for the net? Alrighty. Well, I wish you all a fine night on that tonight. And, nice and compact, but very, very interesting. The Dayton Ham Convention is this weekend, so a lot of local ham radio activity is going to be kind of quiet, as it always is. And I know I'll be spending some time down in the Philadelphia area for at least part of the weekend, but not until late Saturday night into Sunday. So rest of the time, we're going to be around home. So, anyway, if anyone wants to chat after that, I'll be here assembling all these little contact ideas. If anyone has any favorite parts vendors of various types of parts, please feel free to adjust them, and I'll add them to the list and add them to the circulation. So, this is K2BAR, the voice of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. This is Double E2, Tango, 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 Gordon, Tank 73, and have a great night.
2AMI to W2TTT.
Tony?
Two comments. I saw on the news today that there was a rock slide on the Palisades in a lower section and a closed state line park south. Is that right?
I didn't see any closed state line. Oh, they may have, actually. The Giant Stairs had a slide about a week ago. Is that what you're referring to?
No, the exact details, except there was tonight's announcement, but maybe it's old news.
I don't know exactly. I'm going to see if there's any. Okay. Yeah, 3 days ago. Oh dear. Yeah, let's see. Let me just read real quick.
Good thing it wasn't a couple of days earlier.
Well, I think the weekend that Gordon had a hike over there.
Yeah, we went the other way. It was Saturday night. A large portion of the rock face in the Palisades Park let loose, and it took out all the trees that were previously in that area, leaving a large cloud of smoke and debris hovering over the water. Okay, that's what one person said. I'll have to go see if there's... They saw it in the Lamont Darty. That search. Let's see. I had heard that it was at the Giant Stairs, which is above, north of the State Line Lookout. Yeah, you can actually see it. Very nice. Wow. Where is that? Looking at the picture... you want me to send, anybody want to see, well, actually, you probably Google it yourself. I put State Line Lookout Rock Slide, and the first couple of links are pretty good, actually. But, yeah, it certainly cleared out a lot of trees. it has to do with how the rocks are formed there. Here's something at the Columbia University site that might be better. It's actually, if you go to the Columbia University site, that's probably the best place. They have a nice, they have a nice explanation of it. Yeah, it was at the Giant Stairs. That's an unstable area. It's been an unstable area forever. It's going to take a long time to put a new trail cutting across that. There is a trail that cuts along the shoreline there, and clearly you're not going to go there. We went south from a point just south of there on Saturday. You know what I'll do? If you want, Tony, I can embed this into the notes for the net, and I'll include you guys in it.
Oh, yeah, not critical for me because I don't go there, but I thought you would be very interested in that, so I just wanted to bring your attention to it. The second thing, I was playing with APRS, and I saw your call sign up on the Northway in New York State May 4th? Was it April 4th? May 4th, I think. Is that, you have an explanation for that all?
Yes, Dad. Actually, I think it was April 4th. Thereabouts. Yeah, I was up traveling that way, and I was on, the reason why you see it there is because I was using my D-Star radio up there and using the, one of the local repeaters in the Albany area.
How often do you run APRS? Because I was trying to demonstrate it to somebody.
I run it every time I'm using my D-Star radio. but you won't see it as APRS. In other words, you won't be able to catch it on your radio. You'll have to go to the website to see it, because I use something called DPRS, which is the